Ahem. The man banged a hand on the podium. Okay, people, okay. sorry. Hopefully you know who I am. Although I'm sure that some of you I know wish it was not me here talking to you.
There was broken laughter.
I will introduce myself anyway. I'm Admiral Tony Radakin, and you should know that if I'm here to lead a briefing, that the shit...
He paused for the laugh from his expletive. He was an expert in public speaking.
I know, that the shit has truly hit the fan.
He emphasized this by leaning slowly forwards, elbows upon the lectern.
It's been, well, bringing together all the various aspects of our country's defences has been no easy task. But for this one, ladies and gentlemen, we will need you all on top of your game. We've not brought any allies in yet because, well, we don't really need them to make what you will hear as a plan today any more complicated.
More laughter.
Our expert, Professor Simon de Montfort, will make tonight's briefing for this operation, which is codenamed Cleanse. You all have the supporting briefs and the reports that go along with this.
There was a lot of shuffling of papers as people prepared.
For those who do not know the professor and his work, please remember we're professionals, and although the things that will be mentioned tonight may seem unbelievable, you just need to accept what he said. He and his team...
He pointed to Ben and Sula in the front row.
Well, they deal with things that we don't really understand, and to be honest, I don't really want to understand.
Again, a perfectly timed pause while the audience found the faces indicated for future note.
Everything said in here tonight is valid, and it goes no further than the doors of this room. I know, I don't really need to say that. So with no more for me to say, thank goodness, here he is. Let's welcome Simon.
He started to clap and leave the podium, inviting me to take his place. Others in the room took up the applause. I stepped up and opened my simple manila folder to begin. Thank you. I waited for the room to settle, pretending to peruse my documents. When a little quiet had fallen, I looked up and smiled. I am an expert in things that go bump in the night. I nodded. And with that, I do of course mean the supernatural things that go bump in the night. I smiled as I received the laughter at my poor attempt at a joke. Some of you have heard of me and worked with me before. I nodded and got recognition from several people in the room. As has been previously said, tonight you will find out some truths about this world that you've questioned, and some of the things we will mention will leave you feeling utterly incredulous. I pointed at Will. This man is Will Werewolfson, and he is a werewolf. The room stirred as all eyes went to the man in the front row. Will sat hunched down, staring at his feet. He wore a baggy hoodie and joggers, which was not the usual attire we associate with the wolf. He usually had panache and style, which was no longer evident in his demeanor at all. Yes, the man was a simple shade of himself at the moment. He seemed no longer to care about anything at all, least of all his attire. In the space next to the man was the gigantic wolf soul, Fen, invisible to all those except us precious few with magical abilities. Fen behaved in the opposite manner to Will. He was very aware, watching everyone in the room. He was obviously concerned. I think Fen was the only thing that kept Will going at that time, I truly did. Those were two souls who really needed each other, a symbiotic relationship. And Will really needed his Fen right now. Will, as you've read or know, has been in the services before. Some of you will know his history. Tonight, we ignore that history and we move on. That does not mean that what happened in the past is not important. It is, but we need to prioritize at this juncture. There was some angry murmuring from around the room. I held my hand up to gain the silence once more. That is what we do. If any of you have any questions or issues about this, please just don't bother me with them, okay? I respectfully ask you to speak to your superior officers after this, and they will duly tell you to shut up and get on with it. My time is limited. That was a bit harsh of me, but hopefully they'd get the idea of the importance of what we're trying to achieve here in this room today. Uncomfortable laughter from my audience. Not surprising, really. Permit me to introduce your enemy. I know you've read the report, it is difficult to believe, but I have to be honest with you. I lifted the picture of the goddess towards the room. This woman is Samurat. She is a goddess. She's been around for 8,000 years, has an estimated IQ of 240. Well, I say that, I'm afraid I made that last IQ bit up. But she'd probably kill the examiner of any IQ test for fun, but believe me, she is utterly brilliant, I announced with a smile. Let me give you an idea of the things she can do. I picked up the brief and adjusted my superfluous reading glasses. She can glamour you so that she can control you, I read aloud before looking up to the crowd's eye to give further explanation. Yes, I admit she's very good-looking, but this woman uses more than that gift. She uses magic to control you. And I know this is an outdated joke, but let an old relic like myself make it without your judgment, if you will. You're going to lose more than your house to this one when she gets bored of you. Roaring laughter from my conservative audience. I knew how to work with a crowd and get them to like me. I find that people who like me are easier to manipulate and work with. I think the idea of a chain of command is a good thing. But orders from someone you like and respect means people, well, they try harder. I carried on with the briefing. She can make you attack your own team members. She can make you take your own life at a whim. I looked up and wiggled my eyebrows. Now, we've all met a girl or two like that before, eh? Comedy timing pause. We've all been to Colchester Barracks for a few nights out, have we not? More laughter. She can travel through space by using portals to other universes. Murmurs of disbelief now from my audience. I tried to quieten the crowd. Yes, let's just leave that there, shall we? She can move around by portals and call them down whenever she wants. I nodded to the audience. She can move 6 times faster than you can think. And that means by the time you think about pulling the trigger, she's already moved. In fact, she's probably bloody killed you. Another pause. She'd be utterly dynamite on the cricket field, she really would. More laughter. If you, as a normal human, met her, your chances of walking away from that encounter without her permission is absolutely zero. In fact, the likelihood is that you'll end up fighting for her and worshipping her, which I wholeheartedly recommend you don't do because you will instantly become my enemy and the enemy of every man jack of us in this room. I became more severe now. This was made evident by the gentle removal and folding of my glasses as I oozed a more personal vibe. This was serious business after all. I became quieter, drawing the new team into focusing on what I was saying. Her minions are all of a similar ilk, but have less power. Her son is an utter unknown. He could be capable of anything, and I do mean anything. So we have a simple plan. A very simple plan. I'm not all that fond of modern computer presentations, so I had a Sharpie pen and a board presented to the crowd with an A1 pad hanging from it. Yes, you could call me old school if you wanted to. As I say, the plan is really quite simple. Enter each building and destroy every living and non-living being in it except those specified in your packs. Please reference Sally O'Neill, Malcolm Smith, and any tiny wolf-like creatures. Again, There was a shuffling of papers as I paused and waited for them to find the documents and pictures I mentioned. My eyes fell on Will in the front row. His body language became tighter, his arms folded across his chest, his feet crossed as he sniffed loudly. "Any questions so far? Please ask them as we go along," I told the crowd. A hand was raised at the back of the room.
"Yes?"
I asked.
"So, what if they have attack dogs?"
Will and Fenn's heads span to look at the man.
"They don't,"
I replied somewhat dismissively, not wanting to mention doggy or wolfy things if they were not absolutely necessary. I turned now to the pad, preparing my pen.
"As I say, the plan is simple."
I drew a rectangle as an aerial view of a house and added a door, smiling at my poor artwork. I drew a number of stick figures in the building, adding eyes and a smile. And then, just for giggles, a pair of fangs and a large round pair of knockers. This got a very uncomfortable laugh.
"This is the access point to the building,"
I said, pointing to the drawn door.
"In fact, let's clarify, this will represent all 5 buildings of the operation because we'll be doing exactly the same thing at each one of them tonight."
More laughter.
"We'll roll up in a van with Will in the back."
I drew a road outside the building.
"Once within 300 yards or meters or whatever you want to call them these days, we open the door and he will go in."
I drew a dot and an arrow to show it moving towards the door. I turned around and smiled purposefully, popping the lid on the Sharpie. It's a good sound, that pop, I have to say.
"The rest of us will wait until the wolf has done his thing, and then we'll mop up whatever's left by moving through the building. If anyone escapes, that's okay. We want them to."
A few hands shot up. I knew this would be the case.
"Captain Hendricks, SF,"
the man announced.
"We killed this guy a few weeks back, and now he is here. Are we going to trust him?"
he said, pointing to Will.
"Yes,"
I responded. I could see the man was not entirely happy with my reply, but he settled back down. Another hand shot up.
"Hi, Aitkins, advisor to the third here. The man is going in alone, is he? I don't mean to question your plan, but that seems like a waste of personnel."
"Anyone else going in with him will be a liability and have the lifespan of a mayfly. So this is just the way it has to be, okay?"
I replied.
"So why so many of us then?"
asked another uniform I recognized. A worthy question.
Because when it all goes wrong for Will and I, it'll be up to you lot to do something about it. And maybe having lots of you present will help.
Although personally I doubt it.
Today may seem like a small operation to you, but it isn't. This is a world-changing, pivotal, historical moment. These creatures that we're up against are now in an utterly unique position in having Sammy's son with them. She wants to rule us,"
I said, lifting my arms and motioning to everyone in the room.
"She wants us as a food source and a slave race. She's done this before, you know. She ruled that hellish kingdom for some 4,000 years.
The significance of what I was saying was sinking into the majority of the people in the room. I leant on the lectern again, trying to bring calm to the crowd that was showing some signs of understandable stress.
"Suppose my incredibly complex plan doesn't work then, huh?"
I laughed with little mirth.
"Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll be the lucky few then, because we'll all be dead."
Silence from the onlookers. I mean, I obviously wouldn't be dead, but they didn't know that. And actually, it was probably worse for me to consider.
"We want to draw the gods out and see what we can do. To be honest, there might not actually be anything we can do, but we have to try. We're at a real fork in the timelines of history here. As you know, above us will be bombers and carriers at all times, and the ships with devastating munitions payloads are within firing range. If these two vampires show their heads, I wouldn't put it past the powers that be to drop everything they have on them. Today, my friends, might be the last for us. The last for us as we know it, in any case. We either do this, or at the very least, thousands will die. Maybe hundreds of thousands. But in all likelihood, millions of people will die. The room was now completely silent and completely focused. At last, they understood. I leaned on the podium and sought appropriate words. Predictably enough, they came to me. Once more unto the breach, dear friends. Once more. Or close the wall up with our English dead. In peace there's nothing so becomes a man as modest stillness and humility. But when the blast of war blows in our ears, then imitate the action of the tiger. Stiffen the sinew. Conjure the blood. Disguise fair nature with hard-favoured rage. Then lend the eye a terrible aspect. Now set the teeth and stretch the nostril wide. Hold hard the breath and bend up every spirit to his full height. On, you noblest English, whose blood is fet from fathers of war-proof fathers that, like so many Alexanders, have in these parts from morn till even fought and sheathed their swords for lack of argument. Dishonor not your mothers. Now attest that those whom you called fathers did beget you. Be copy now to men of grosser blood and teach them how to war. And you, good yeomen, whose limbs were made in England, show us here the mettle of your pasture. Let us swear that you are worth your breeding, which I doubt not, for there is none of you so mean and base that hath not noble lustre in your eyes. I see you stand like greyhounds in the slips, straining upon the start. The game's afoot. Follow your spirit, and upon this charge, cry revenge for Sally, England, and St. George!
The crowd was somewhat divided by the end of my beautiful rendition of Shakespeare. Many of the older gentlemen sat with tears in their eyes and a lump in their throat, thinking what an honour it would be to die for king and country, how to go out with a straight bat would be the best way to go. Many of the younger folk looked shocked or appalled at what had just happened. Many of them didn't know whether to laugh or cry. I smiled, as though nothing had happened. At least I had the room now. Well, I thought I did anyway, but, well, there's always one, isn't there? A hand was raised slowly into the air. Lifted somewhat smugly, I thought. I know. How can you raise a hand smugly? Well, you'll just have to trust me that in this case it was. Not only that, but once the podgy hand reached its zenith, the man raising it clicked his fingers to get my attention. Each of the three clicks made me want to go back to sin and killing. I could have persecuted the living shit out of the bastard at that moment, but we had other fish to fry. So, let's see what this piggy-like general wanted. Tosser.
Obviously no reason to introduce myself. You all know who I am, don't you, ladies and gentlemen?
The porcine prick wrongly presumed.
I just want to clarify this. I mean, dare I say it? Yes, I dare.
He laughed in that infuriating upper-class way. Foie, 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 foie.
He paused. No one else nodded agreement or got involved. They all just stared at him. The people around the room who knew of Will and I started to slowly give the general some space. I noted that the admiral sat by the lectern, put his head in his hands. This general was an obvious idiot by proxy. I lifted my head and chin to him, asking silently for more information on the plan's ridiculous nature.
I agree it's ridiculous. But it is what we have, general,
I replied. The general unwontedly continued.
Well, sir, I'm glad you think so. I mean this fellow here.
He pointed at Will, who had for some reason put his hood up and whose body language was so closed at this point that I thought he might never speak again.
This,
He looked at his briefing.
Werewolf.
He told us with such deep sarcasm.
Is what? It's going to kill some vampires? Is this a joke, Admiral? Werewolves and vampires? There is one simple cell of insurgents that needs to be taken down, and by God, we have the greatest special forces teams in the world to do it. Vampires. Pa! Pa, I say!
Yes, the man really said pa. Pa grated on my spine. He sat back in his seat, expecting applause or support or something. Well, it didn't arrive. Everyone was staring at him now. He'd obviously thought he'd made a winning point and didn't expect the room to be against him. So he tried to rally.
You're going to just let this dog, this dog off its leash, and ask it to fetch. What a plan,
he said dismissively. At these words, I looked at the sky for some divine intervention. Why, oh, why did he have to say dog or leash or fetch, never mind all three in one sentence? My hand went to my forehead and I closed my eyes for a moment, waiting for it to happen. Will, as we knew, did not care about the chain of command, and in my head, the general had just committed suicide by werewolf. You don't call him a bloody dog. Where Will once sat, stood a giant of a beast. Well over 8 feet tall, bulky, and well-muscled. It was shrouded in a pelt so dark that it swallowed the light from the room around it. Its head was wolfine, and its maw was lined with teeth like carving knives. Eyes shone from its head. Yellow flames burnt in those pit-like orbits, and the creature bellowed with rage. The people in the room justifiably panicked and scrambled away from the wolf, overturning furniture in their haste to escape. There was a moment where I had to check myself for letting it just happen. The general needed some level of natural selection in his life. So, why not just remove the bloody idiot from the gene pool and do everyone a favour? It was a significant mental fight before I stepped in between the porcine panicking prick and my giant furry friend. I did it. It's what I do. I stepped forward with some resignation. I held my hand to the werewolf's face, offering a wan smile and another to the soldiery with their raised weapons. Okay, okay, you know what? I don't get the rewards due for this line of work. I come here to help, and it only takes one bloody idiot to make it utterly messy, I said with my head bowed. Looking up, I caught the eye of Lucifer, who looked all languid and lovely in a navy uniform from the 50s. She winked and smiled at me. Of course she was here. Of course she was. Time slowed, and I waited for the wolf to attack, but I was pleasantly surprised when he did not. Relaxing a little, I managed to resume talking to the audience, and the general in particular. I'd be careful about the choice of words you use, General. He's rightfully a little touchy about things doggy-related. I pointed at the soldiers who'd lined up shots. Please don't shoot him. You'll only annoy him, and then he will be your lot to deal with. Honestly, if you shoot him, it's your problem, I said, smiling at them and offering a shrug. I meant it, too. Orders were issued for them to lower their weapons. Quite right. The werewolf now seemed to calm. It was at a bit of a loss as to what to do, a situation that he and I were not used to. Normally, he just did utterly horrendous things at times like these. Well, I suppose this was well-timed. As you can see, we have a furry tank on our side, which, by the way, is one of my favourite ways of describing young Will. He is shock and awe packaged with tooth and claw. We'll hit the first sight at sunset, 6:17 p.m., organise what you have to organise in the next 5 hours, and then we roll. I nodded at the Admiral. He took to his feet, holding his folder.
Thank you for that, Simon. Thank you, Will. I wish you all good luck in the cleansing situation.
He said, starting to clap as the room joined in.
Thanks very much for listening. We are Werewolf the Podcast. In the description, there are loads of links to loads of things. Go check us out. If you're on Spotify, you can click up and get involved in the conversation with us. You can rate us. You can do all that kind of thing. You could share us with a friend. You could, I don't know, you could tell us you enjoy us. I don't know. You could smile. Please smile. Anyway, thank you very much. We love you. Bye.